Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra.
And you are listening to Hannah's Heart today. We are a podcast and radio show dealing mostly with infertility, miscarriage, adoption, family growing, child loss, so many things. Mm-hmm. And I just like to basically sum it up these days and just say, like, if you're desiring a life that you don't have yet, mm-hmm. but if your life just looks differently than what you thought it would look like right now, yeah. because that's a grieving process.
In the way
too.
That God's building your family right. is a journey.
Right.
Come
because
on.
Because we've covered
join
so
with
many
us.
Topics right. now, I'm like, instead of making that long list, let's just say that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a very special guest on the show. Mm-hmm. If you're watching, you can see that we have someone in studio. And if you're listening, she might sound a lot like me. We get told that all the time because she's my baby sister, Sarah.
No, Anne is not talking to herself. No split personalities here today.
Yeah. We've been told all of our lives that we sounded a lot alike. So her name is Sarah Williams. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
She gets called Say most of the time at my house because that's what my kids call her. And Will calls you Say and, you know, all the things. And
different
I call
versions.
You Say Kay. But I'm glad you're on the show today. I
Thanks.
Was going to let Kendra tell why she's
okay,
here.
Okay, the topic of the day. So you are not yet married.
Correct.
And you represent a part of our audience that people actually are following that fall yeah. into this camp of, you know what? I'm waiting for God to bring my spouse. I desire to be a husband or a wife and to have children. But, you know, I'm waiting. I'm in this season of waiting. Mm-hmm. And that's a little bit different than infertility, but yeah. it still strikes at a very real desire of our heart. And especially in today's culture where I think things are just so much different than they used to be. And the reason Anne's having me introduce the topic is because I was the old cat lady for a long time. Not really. I did not have a cat. I have a cat now. But no. So yeah. So I asked before the show how old Sarah was because somebody told me once, they're like, you are not officially single until you were 30 and single. Because, and I was,
coming.
I think I was about your age at the time that they said that. But I think what they meant was like, you know, it's one thing for a little like 18 or 19 year old to be like, I just really want to be in a relationship right now. And you're like, okay, graduate first.
Right.
Like, you know, like it's different than that. But when you're a little bit later in your 20s or 30s or some of us late 30s, before God brings that special person into your life, it becomes progressively harder and harder. And it can be very alienating. And especially mm-hmm. when you see your friends getting married and having kids. And it feels like, I remember for me, like it felt like, these people that I really love and am dear and close to, they would go one life stage away when they got married. And then when they started having children, it was like another life stage is happening. Yeah. And it just felt like the stuff that divided us was more and more. And not that they were pushing me away, but just that like it was harder and harder to relate.
Right.
So anyways, Valentine's Day is coming up. By the time this show airs, it'll actually be right before Valentine's okay. Day. So that is another time when it can be really brutal to be struggling. So we want to make this show about how to encourage people that are in the thick of it. So thank you for coming on.
Of course. Happy to be here.
We've talked about doing this for a little yeah. while now because before the show started and I was in the depths of infertility, mm-hmm. me and Sarah, it was almost like somehow we helped each other along mm-hmm. the way by encouragement or being sad together, or being, you know, whatever together, because I was desiring babies
yeah.
and she was desiring a husband.
Yeah.
And so I know it's different desires, but still what I said at the beginning of the show, our lives looking different than what we thought that they would mm-hmm. or that they should, or seeing those friends get engaged and have the showers and get married and all the things that you're like, that looks like so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
and I want him. I want that husband, you know. And then the same for me, baby showers, baby announcements, having a baby. I want that extra stocking like we always talk about. And so, you know, going through that together, I feel like brought us closer mm-hmm. together because we were both yearning for something that we had no control over when would happen.
Well, and your pain mm-hmm. brought you together, but also the answer, like the solution is Christ. And so like when you're encouraging each other, it makes sense when you're just like, just wait on the Lord and wait on his timing.
Yeah.
Scripture, I love how it can apply to like every culture, every time period, and mm-hmm. every individual. It can just like cut to the, you know, it says that it's like a sword that divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And like God's word is so helpful, whatever the desire and unmet expectation you have is. But I want to grill Miss Sarah for just a minute. So let's talk, because I have probably a long list of things that of like what not to say to somebody who is single, okay? Because there's so many things that people say that they think are being helpful, but actually, they just are little tiny daggers in your heart, or they're just annoying. So is there anything for you that comes to mind?
One that's probably been said the most to me is, you know, like, he'll come when you're not looking.
Yeah.
And for some reason, also, my mother loves to tell me, like, your prince is coming. And for some reason, maybe it's my mother, or maybe it's just because it's me. I'm like, that's the worst thing. Like, my prince is coming.
Like you're come on. You're not expecting a perfect
right,
person.
Like, I don't need you to say that. Just like... And I can make jokes about it. And people are like, you don't have to say that. And I'm like, I can joke. Yeah. It's okay. So, I think he'll come when you're not looking for it. Because I'm not like, I'm not out there digging for this man, you know. Like, I am waiting on the Lord and praying and, you know, searching and longing for that still, but still waiting. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to ensure me that he'll come when I'm not looking.
Yeah. So. Did you ever get like, oh, you know, like people that would say, for me, it was when I finally became content that the Lord brought this person.
Right.
They do that with infertility too.
Oh, yeah.
And people will use that as if like contentment is this magic
key
that unlocks. And let me just say, like, just because somebody doesn't have a husband does not mean that they're not content right now, or that
that's
they're not trying
true.
To. Just because they desire children doesn't mean that they're not choosing to walk in contentment in their time of not having kids. So sometimes it feels like an accusation, like, "Hey, Sarah, get your life together. Just be content, and it'll happen because that's what worked for me."
Right.
And again, no judgment to people who that was their story, because I know for a lot of people, God did move their heart to a place of contentment, and then He brought that in. So that's awesome. But everybody's story does not look the same.
Right. Well, I feel like that's the same thing when people say, like, just foster to adopt.
Right.
And it's like, it is not that easy. And just because her story worked where she had a baby after she fostered doesn't mean I will. That was my story after I fostered for, 2.5 years? And so we still had a time of waiting after doing foster care to have a baby. And so, I just feel like it's about the same thing. There's no, I feel like, perfect plan for anyone other than desiring Christ more than that man or more than those babies and always keeping your eye on him. That can be the number one goal for everyone. But all of our stories look so different that, I don't feel like that's helpful for someone that doesn't know if he's coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To say that.
In college, like when I started, you know, past the age of 18 and you're out of high school, that's when people really are like, be content where you are right now. He'll come when he comes. And I'm like, in my prayer, in my mind, in my heart, I'm like, God, I am content with you. So you're hearing me say that. I'm happy with you.
You know, you are enough.
So like, bring me my husband now. Like, I'm content. But I felt myself praying that prayer, you know, God, make me content with just you.
Mm-hmm.
But not really being okay with it.
Yeah.
And so now, 28, all these years later, I do feel like I can confidently say that I'm content. Of course, I still want that. But like looking around in my life, I'm very thankful for where I am and the things I've gotten to do that I might not have done if I was married, or the friends that I've made that I might not have made if I was married. So,
let's talk about that, because I've heard a lot of people say that singleness is like this really unique opportunity. And a lot of times, a lot of emphasis is put in churches on marriage and how this is the covenant that represents Christ in the church. And it's like, elevated, and it's a wonderful, beautiful thing. I don't want that's all true. That is all true. But it can sometimes make single people feel like, well, I've just not achieved the holy matrimony title. So, like, but yet, I have seen so many people that have used their years of singleness because I think there's a verse in scripture that does talk about like a woman's desire who's married is for her husband, you know, but a woman who is single or a man who is single, like their heart is for the Lord. And I think what they mean by that not that married people can't have hearts for the Lord, but that your commitment and your time is freed up in different ways when you don't have that. And so I have so many friends that we had another single person on the show that she's a missionary and like she was a mama to so many children. Yeah. And so how have you used your season of being single to draw closer to the Lord? And is there anything that God has laid on your heart ministry wise?
I will say that, well, I'm not a missionary.
Sure. So
I will not say that I've spent my time, you know, as well as she has maybe, but for a while I helped in the children's ministry at my previous church. And I do feel like when I moved to this church that I'm at now, I haven't been as involved. And I feel like as a single person, that's almost been like a conviction for myself that that's I've felt. I don't have a husband, so I don't need to lead in this area. Mm-hmm. I don't know the couples or whatever, so I don't feel like as invested or involved as I should. Mm. Or
you also will changed let churches myself. During COVID,
right?
During that time, so I feel like that kind of got you to keep from getting involved at first, and now it's just been hard. And you've also, I don't know if you call this a mission. In my heart, it's a mission because she has been so involved as we have gone through foster care. Sarah might not be on paperwork, but she fostered with us. Wow. I mean, like, so available to help just about any time we needed, anytime doctor's appointments or whatever she could do, even though she has an 8-to-5 job, she tried to be there any way possible, helping however she needed. And then I will say, she and then one of our other good friends, who's basically like a sister to us, she's single as well. They would not have been around after John Micah passed away if they would have had a family of their own. And so anyway, I'm not trying to be selfish and saying, well, I'm glad you didn't, but the way that they were able to be there with us every single night and to help with bedtime whenever I wasn't able to get up and get going, or to help get supper fed or kids ran errands, you know, because life continued, even though I had kind of stopped for a little bit, there was still life to live for my two. And so that was ministry to me, rather, you know, other people really were able to acknowledge that or not. Well,
and I think ministry usually is what's right under your nose. Like, we think of it a lot of times as, oh, if I'm not a missionary overseas, or I don't work for a church. But sometimes it's helping a sister who's going through the darkest, you know, season of her life.
Literally.
And showing up for her in such a real way. Yeah. And it's making yourself available to the Lord to say, here I am, Lord, send me, use me. My hands are your hands. My feet are your feet. My eyes are your eyes. Like, and so that's so beautiful that you were able to step in and be that for Anne. And I think the relationship between singles and marrieds is something that, like, we do feel that division, you know, like single, like I was talking about, the life stages feel like they're pushing us apart.
Sure.
But that's all, like, in our heads. That's not necessarily real. Like, it wasn't necessarily real people pushing me away. But I think when we help and serve each other who are different from us, it allows us to take our mind and our focus off of our real problems of, like, I don't have a husband, Lord. Where is he? And then we see, oh, wow, even married people, like, even once I get to that stage, there's new trials.
Right.
There's new troubles that are there. And the same for married people. Like, it's easy to look back on singlehood and be like, oh, my goodness, she can watch whatever she wants. Yeah. Like, she gets to have a bubble bath at night.
Well, I think us just being silly, one time we were like, the people who say they're tired before they have kids, they don't know what
you
tired.
You don't know what tired.
But that you do.
Yes.
As you know, as you're.
It's just different.
It's just different tired. It's different places in life. One thing that Sarah said that meant a lot to me and our other friend that I'm talking about, they said after watching Will and I walk through John Micah, that watching, what did you say, just watching how Will...
Like going through a grieving process, like the deepest, darkest part of your life that you can imagine, having someone like Will, I know there are other great men out there, but in my life, someone like him that I've grown up with and seen him love my sister so well through a lot of happy times, it was a blessing to watch him love her through the hard times and for her to love him back in return, but for him to really step up and be there and be what she needed during those times, you know. I mean, we've joked about, you know, there's no good men like Will out there anymore. Yeah. He's just the best. We'll never find a Will. But it is
It's encouraging to know that there are people
right,
like
and
that.
To pray and hope that I do end up with a man who is somewhat like Will.
Well, let me tell you this. My mom used to tell me this all the time, and it was so helpful. She'd be like, you only need one.
Oh, that's very
You know, because yep. I'm like, yep. there aren't any men. And it always made me think of in scripture, Elijah, whenever he had this like mountaintop experience, you know, when like the prophets of Baal were worshiping yeah. and then like the water, you know, he dumped the water on God, brought the fire. And then Jezebel got mad mm-hmm. at him and wanted to kill him. And he freaked out. Like he just had this amazing experience with God. And then he runs and he's terrified. Right. And he like legit runs. Like he doesn't just like run for a day. Like it's like this no, he's huge out of journey. There.
Yeah.
He keeps running and then falls asleep and gets revived. And then like he is freaked out. So then he goes to this cave and then he throws this royal pity party for himself, which is so relatable for me because I have been Elijah. This is why I love this man. So he's like in the cave and he's like, God, it's just me out there and there aren't anybody else and I'm all alone. And God literally, he comes and he's like, hey, how about the other thousands of prophets that are in the hills? Mm. Like, you are not the only one serving me. And he just got in that mindset because he was lonely. And on that mountaintop, he might have been alone. But there were so many other people. And there and like shortly after, there's some people that God brings as servants into his life to minister to him. And it's really easy when you're single to feel like, Lord, I am the only one out there who's serving you, especially because let me just tell you guys, for those of you that can't see Sarah, she could be married. She could be married yesterday because you're gorgeous and you have a beautiful personality and a beautiful heart. But what you're waiting on is somebody whose goals and heart lines up That's with right. the calling that God has for you. So, you know, it's when you're waiting like that, it can just feel really easy to be discouraged like right. Elijah. So what are the things that you do to try to keep your focus on the Lord?
Well, definitely having a close group of people that know where I am. And I mean, I have lots of friends who know that I'm single and want to get married. But like, mm-hmm. you know, a good four people that I go to, and they're all in different stages. My close mm-hmm. friend who's single, my sister who's married with kids, but young, and then I have a friend at work who's older with children who are 10 yeah. years old. And so, and she also was married later in life and had children later in life. And so I feel like I kind of grasp a little bit from each of them where they've walked the different journeys and ended up where they have, and just value mm-hmm. their opinions. Also, of course, searching in the Word yeah. and just having a stronger prayer life, I feel like has come along, you know, later in these years. And really seeing, you know, the Lord does hear me. Yeah. Doesn't matter if I'm seeing my husband right in front of me right now, like he is hearing me and he knows what I want and what I need and when I need it. So
that's just awesome. Hold to have on that to community. That. And it's also nice to have a community that's not just focused on trying to get you married. Because a lot of times people will try to be helpful right. and like the like the blind dates and the setups. And they're like, we know that she wants this and so we're just gonna make it happen. And then like I would have people try to hook me up with people over the silliest things. They're like, Kendra, I got this guy. He's perfect for you. You should see his car. Somebody said that once. I was like, so you thought of him for me because of his car? I don't even know the names of cars. Like, I couldn't care less about cars, you know, but your community, like, it sounds like they're, you know, it's helpful to focus on what is my calling as a human being, because the end goal of life, listen up, y'all. I'm preaching to myself here. The end goal of life is not to have children. The end goal of life is not to be married. Those are beautiful callings.
Right.
And God can use that. But the end goal of life is to glorify God. Right. And you can do that if at any stage that you are in. And so if you throw yourself into that work of glorifying God, it makes it seem like, you know what? If a husband doesn't come along, like I still desire that. I'm still moving towards that. But if he doesn't come along, Jesus and me are good, man. We're running this race together and I'm throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. I'm running with perseverance, this race marked out for me. And it's not wasted time. A lot of times when we think about waiting for our spouses, we think like literally you're just sitting on your hands. Like, you know, you're doing nothing, but you're not at home at night, like, just sitting on your hands. I mean, you might be at home. I don't know if you're an introvert, an extrovert, but you know, you're serving others. You're pursuing the Lord. You're growing as a person, and that's huge. And that applies to anyone who struggles with infertility listening to this as well.
For sure, for sure. Because yeah, it can always be tempting to what you were just talking about, sit and mope, you know, and just tell God like you haven't answered. Yeah, I've prayed how many times now? Mm-hmm. Have I prayed this same prayer?
Yeah.
And you still seem silent.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. Hard to not let yourself sit in that sometimes, but there, I mean, we have heard countless stories, and then there are so many scriptures, and of course, none of them are coming to mind right now, but like, I looked at one time how many times the Bible has the word wait in it. And it's like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's over 1,000 times that the Lord says to wait, to be still, to be quiet, to wait. And, you know, we have to realize that that's okay. And that waiting isn't sitting with your hands under you, like what you were just saying. Waiting, you can be waiting for what he's going to do while you're serving other people, while you're doing what he has called you to do, while you're trying to live your best life, but your best life honoring, you know, the Lord. And so I think it can be so encouraging watching people, whatever you're waiting on, serving the Lord while you're still not necessarily getting the answers that you're desiring.
And so much about waiting is trusting the character and the nature of God, that he has what's best for you and he desires good things for you. Because I do this now with my daughter all the time. Like, she will want something so bad, like ice cream. Last night, man, y'all, we're making ice cream. And she just, dad, mom, dad. And it's like, okay, yes, you can have some, but it's in the ice cream churner and you will destroy your hand if you put it in right now. It's not ready. It's not ready. We have to wait. We have to wait. Dad. And she just looked at me like I was depriving her, you know? And it's like, sometimes I just wish I could get down in her little face and communicate to her how much I love her and how much I desire good for her. And, you know, anytime I ask her to wait, it's usually like, yeah, we're going to put your shoes on before we go outside because it's 7 degrees outside and we don't want you to get cold. Sick. So yes, I'm all on board for team let's go play outside with the ball, but we gotta wait. And usually it's while I'm preparing something for her to do the thing that she wants that she has a meltdown thinking that I'm keeping it from her. You know, and how much am I
Jane,
like,
can relate.
Yes, I am like that. I cry to God and I'm like, why are you keeping these good things from me? And he's like, would you trust my character? I love you. I'm lining things up. And one thing I wanted to share with you today is just how quickly God can line stuff up, and how right now the picture of what your family looks like might be one thing, but it could change so quickly. And that's what it did for me. And I wanted to show you something because I'm corny. But so this is, for those that aren't in the studio, I'm holding up a little frame with my cute little family in it. It's actually a really cheap frame. It says love on it. I went out one Valentine's Day when I was single and still waiting for my husband and bought this because I believed that the Lord had called me to be married. And I believed that there was somebody out there who existed that God had for me. And I just had to wait until God brought him into the picture. He wasn't in the picture. So I bought an empty frame and I wrote a prayer for the future husband that God had for me. And I put it up and I put the prayer where nobody else could see it because I was like, I don't want people asking questions. But I put it on my desk, and anytime I would look over there and see this empty frame, I would pray for him. And I would pray for the Lord to help me to wait and to be patient for that season. And what was so crazy is I wrote an article for AFA when I was 30 based on that, because after I turned 30 and the guy that was like, you know, you're not really single till you're 30 and single. I was 30 when I started dating Eric and met him. And I went from like 30 years of nothing. And when I say nothing, like, I mean, there were a couple of people that I prayed about, but no actual like relationships, you know, not a whole lot of Friday night dates going on. I mean, a few that ended not going anywhere. But, and then all of a sudden he was in my life, and it was like within date, like our relationship, we waited a long time as friends watching each other and prayerfully considering it. But once he popped that question, man, it was 4 months later and we were married, you know, and then like the pictures, and then we had, of course, waiting and praying for Eliana and for God to bring her into the picture. But we started doing something on our anniversary. We take a picture every year holding this frame. And so first we put our wedding photo in it. And then the next year we held up like one finger and held the frame of, oh, we made it 1 year. And now we're at the 5 years. And I just look at this picture of us and I'm holding my daughter and I've got a husband in the picture. And now we're praying for God to add to the picture again and add another little one. And I have a little happy for you. One second. Let me get this out here. Because I wanted you to have your own frame and I wanted to encourage you.
And then sweet.
To go write a prayer, just trusting God that whatever he puts in this picture. And you might, if you're listening, you might be like, I don't know that God promised me a spouse, but know that whatever he's going to put in the frame in your picture is going to be good. and it could happen so quickly. I also have one little tiny chocolate rose for you because Valentine's Day is around the corner and every woman deserves chocolate. So, until you get the chance to have a man who appreciates just how special and precious you are and what a jewel that you are, I pray that the Lord, and this is something a lot of people won't pray, I pray that he'll keep you hidden until a man who's seeking God, who's worthy of finding you, discovers you.
I love that. Oh,
thank you.
Big sister likes that prayer.
She loves you so much.
I do.
Gushes off air.
No, but I really appreciate you coming on today. I know we've talked about this a lot and you've been nervous about it.
Just a little.
But it takes a lot to share. I feel like the secrets that we have inwardly, you know, about these fears and anxieties of, you know, when will he come? How will you be 30? You know, like, and I know you don't want to be. It could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I love this
even
idea.
If it's not, even if it's like years and years and years of waiting, it's worth waiting to be obedient to God, to do things in his timing, because you can trust his character. He is good. He desires good things for you. He loves you. And if you're listening this today and you're single, all of this applies to you too.
And her number is...
Yeah.
Totally kidding. But thank y'all so much for listening to the show. It was a joy to listen to y'all and to learn more about this First SAK. Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you again next week.